Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
Well, good morning and welcome to Lighthouse. We're so glad you're here this morning. Whether you're here in the house or whether you're watching on the live stream, we want to make sure you feel welcome. For those who are visiting the first or the second time, we want to extend a special welcome to you. Thanks for coming out this morning. We're in a series called God in Us, and we're talking about the Holy Spirit from a chronological perspective through the scriptures. And this week, we're in the third week of that series, and we're talking about the Old Testament through the eyes of the prophets from the Old Testament. It's a sermon titled, The Holy Spirit Carries Us Along. My name is Larry Sewell, like it said on the sign. Thank you. And I'm one of the elders here at Lighthouse, and I'll be with you for about the next 35 minutes. Before we jump into the teaching this morning, I'd like to pray one more time. Let's pray together. God, I pray that you would just quiet our hearts as we think about the reality of sovereign God, the one who holds history in his hand, the one whose will, who has the capacity to do whatever he wills. Sovereign God, we pray to you. We're thankful that in your grace, you've given us the scriptures, that you've communicated, you've told us everything that we need to know about how to live this life and what comes after this life is over. We're grateful. And so right now in these moments, I pray that your Holy Spirit would open our minds, open our hearts, help us to see your word, help us to understand the things that are true and to lean into that. I pray all this through Jesus. Amen. Now, my wife, Debbie, and I have been married a very long time. I'm not sure. Is it? It's a long time. Okay. And she knows all of my habits. She knows my good habits. She knows my bad habits. I won't tell you how many are on each side of the ledger. But one of my bad habits is that I often walk into the middle of a movie she's watching. Have you ever done that? You walk into the middle of the movie, you don't know the characters, you don't know the plot, you don't know what's going on. And when that happens to me, I double down and I ask questions, okay? Like, who is that guy? Is he the good guy? Is he the bad guy? Do I like this guy or do I not like this? You know, I don't really know what's going on in the movie. So she's trying to watch the movie, I'm trying to play catch up, okay? And it's a bad scene, okay? Because she can't keep track of what's going on because she knows what has. She knows what the nuances are. She understands the characters, and I've missed all of that. And I'm stuck with just asking these dumb questions. Now if it's a Hallmark movie, it's easier because, you know, Hallmark movies have one plot and five characters, and you always know which guy is going to get the girl. It's easy, okay? I can even figure the plot out of a Hallmark movie. But it's not ideal, generally, to start in the middle of a movie because you miss everything that came before and you just don't know what's going on. And the Bible is a little bit the same way. Now, I have 5 points that I'd like to talk about today. And the first is the nature of God's revelation, the nature of the scriptures that we have. Now, the Bible is a progressive revelation. It's not a series of essays or letters that were written all the same day, but it's a progressive revelation. The Bible has a storyline. It flows all the way from Genesis through the book of Revelation at the end, and the story builds over time. If you jump into the middle, okay, you miss everything that came before. Lots of people think, well, I'll just jump in and learn a few verses about Jesus, you know, because that's, you know, that's something in the center. I'll just do that, and I'll just forget about the rest of the Bible. Well, if you do that, you miss all kinds of things that the Bible talks about. You miss a lot about the character of God. You miss about the will of God. In fact, you would miss a great deal about the heart of God, because it's displayed for us in the first two-thirds of the Bible that we call the Old Testament. Now, most of us in this room would agree that the very center point of history is Jesus. In fact, the entire Old Testament points to Jesus, right? You see that as you read the Old Testament. The great theme of the Bible is that God is reconciling people to himself, sinful people, through what Jesus did on the cross. That's the central storyline of the entire Bible. At the very end of his relatively short ministry, Jesus said to his disciples, "It is good for you if I go away." Because if he left, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the one who reveals God, okay, the Holy Spirit would come. Jesus, in effect, is introducing the second half of God's sovereign plan. That's what he's doing in those words. Jesus had been with the disciples, but the Holy Spirit would be in the disciples. In coming weeks, we're going to talk about the Spirit in the life of Jesus. We're going to talk about Pentecost, what happened when the Holy Spirit was poured out. But those are going to be future weeks. You're going to have to come back for those teachings. But I want you to understand today one central point, and it's this. Christians living today are living in the center part of the story. We're living right in the middle. We're living with the Holy Spirit in our lives. In fact, the Bible says that Christians are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives within them. If you're a Christian, have you ever thought about what it would be like to not have the Holy Spirit in your life? No Holy Spirit to influence you towards truth. No Holy Spirit drawing you to God. None of that. No clear leading of the Holy Spirit in transformation. No heart change. All those things are because of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, I know people who have believed the gospel late in life. Okay, they get into their 50s and 60s, and they believe. They hear the gospel, and they believe. They make Jesus the Lord of their life. And people that come to faith late in life, they have a definite before and an after. They know what it was like when they walked on their own. You know, they were on their own path doing the best they could over here before they knew God. And now they know what it means to have the Holy Spirit in them. They have the contrast between the two. Well, before Pentecost, in the Old Testament, people did not have the Holy Spirit indwelling them like Christians experience today. We're actually living in the best time of history. We're living after Pentecost when the Holy Spirit, his presence, is in us. I used to wonder, why would anybody take the time to read the Old Testament? It is so long. It's like hundreds and hundreds of pages, and sometimes it seems like it's a little bit dry until you jump in and actually read the book itself. Why not just study Jesus and forget the rest? I used to think that. But you know, if you do that, you miss some really important things, such as the patience of God, how God is patient towards people that actually turn his back on him and go another way. You would miss the heart of God that's displayed so clearly in the Old Testament. "I will be their God, and they shall be my people." That phrase shows up in the Old Testament over and over again. You'd miss all the fulfilled prophecy from the Old Testament. You would miss the nature of the human heart and the extent to which God had to go in Jesus to redeem us. You would miss all of those things. It's hard to fully appreciate what God has done for us without understanding how far we were from God and the thousands of years of history of Israel that point to our need for hope in Jesus. In the Old Testament, we are reminded that God has always hated sin. That's a set point. That is his character. It's who he is. He can't be different than that. He has always hated sin. But at the same time, the Old Testament reminds us that God has always been one who deeply cares for people. You see that played out in the pages of the Old Testament. As you move to the book of Ephesians in the New Testament, there's a verse there that just always grabs my attention, that God loved us and chose us in Christ to be without fault in his eyes. Wow, that's such a contrast to the Old Testament, right? It says this, he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son, and he forgave our sins. Believers in Jesus have the Holy Spirit in them. So the first point is this, the revelation of God is progressive. If you don't read the whole thing, you're just starting in the middle and you've missed all the context of the New Testament. But as Jesus promised, the Holy Spirit lives in Christians today. The second point is this. Before Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon people for specific purposes. Okay, the Holy Spirit came upon people. Rather than indwelling them like he does Christians today, the Holy Spirit came upon Christian or on people for specific reasons. Now, an early sighting of the Holy Spirit is the filling of a man by the name of Bezalel. Do you know him, Bezalel? Does anybody have a neighbor named Bezalel? No, no neighbors, right? Okay. Let me read this verse. Then Moses told the people of Israel, the Lord has specifically chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, grandson of Hur, from the tribe of Judah. The Lord has filled Bezalel with the Spirit of God, giving him great wisdom and ability and expertise in all kinds of crafts. This was the man chosen by God to design the artistic work of the tabernacle. Okay? And the Holy Spirit came upon him to accomplish what God had called him to do. This is the portable temple, as it were, the tabernacle, where Moses would meet with God. And this is the man God called to do that work. Another early example of the Holy Spirit in the Bible comes in the character of Moses and the 70 elders, his first lieutenants, that helped manage the nation of Israel back in the day. Numbers chapter 11. I will come down and talk to you there at the tabernacle, and I will take some of the spirit that is upon you, and I will put the spirit on them also, and they will bear the burden of the people along with you, so that you don't have to carry it alone. God was multiplying leaders, and he was empowering the leaders of Israel with his Holy Spirit. That's what was happening at the time. I love to read the language of the Old Testament as it concerns Moses. It's warm, and it's intimate, and it reflects the heart of God. It reflects the character of God in such a unique way. It says this in Exodus 33. Inside this tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with a friend. The intimate relationship between God and Moses is so clear. The very character of God in the Bible is personal. God is not far away. Those who think God is distant and God is far away and that God cannot be known don't know the God of the Bible, because that's not what he's like at all. The Holy Spirit came upon the judges to deliver Israel from their enemies. He came upon Samson, for instance, with feats of great strength. Now Samson was a very, very flawed man. When you read the account of Samson, you see that instantly. And yet, the Spirit of God came upon Samson to accomplish the things that the sovereign plan demanded. He was part of God's plan. There are many examples in the Old Testament of people of prophets who prophesy in the name of God or in the name of the Lord, as it said. People like Saul, for instance. Remember Saul, the first king of Israel. This is what it says about him in 1 Samuel chapter 10. At that time, the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person. You know, I don't think it's possible for a person to have the Holy Spirit's influence in their life and remain the same. I just don't think it works that way. You'll be changed into a different person. David, the man who came after Saul and replaced Saul, after Saul had actually turned his back on God and lost the presence of the Holy Spirit in his life, Okay? David came. He was called a man after God's own heart. Listen to this verse. Paul, or this is David speaking, okay? After his sin with Bathsheba, the Spirit of the Lord had been powerfully upon him and he fell into a terrible sin. And he says this, "Cast me not away from your presence and don't take your Holy Spirit from me." David knew that the Holy Spirit had been leading him. And probably because he saw what had happened to Saul when Saul turned from God, he was fearful that he would lose the presence of God in his life. Now, there is no evidence that that ever happened to David, okay? In fact, David is one who writes many of the prophetic and messianic psalms, the one who says so much in the psalms about Jesus himself. The general point is this. Before Pentecost, before the Holy Spirit was poured out on the world, you could say that people had the Holy Spirit come upon them or to fill them or to carry them along for a specific purpose. But that's very different than being indwelled with the Holy Spirit as Christians enjoy today. The Holy Spirit is a permanent guarantee to Christians, a permanent guarantee that God is with them. It's possible for Christians to quench the Spirit. It's possible for Christians to grieve the Holy Spirit, but it's not possible for a Christian today to lose the Holy Spirit. We are living in the middle of the movie. You know, we're living at that time after the Old Testament, after the prophets, when the Holy Spirit is indwelling Christians. But you know, the movie has an end too. You know, you have to see the whole story from Genesis to Revelation. The third point for today is this. The most important thing that the prophets did under the influence of the Holy Spirit was to speak the words of God. That's the most important thing the prophets did, to speak the words of God. Consider 2 Peter chapter 1. "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things, for prophecy never had its origin in human will. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Now, carried along is probably a great description there. I think it understands how the Scriptures came to us. Sometimes translators will say the word moved instead of carried along. But I think this depicts what's really happening here. The Holy Spirit is carrying along the prophets as they're speaking the Word of God. It's interesting to me that the prophets sometimes did not even understand what they were talking about. They knew God was leading them. They were speaking the words of God. But sometimes they didn't even know what was actually being said or what the context of their words were. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. "They wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when he told them in advance about Christ's suffering and the great glory afterward." They were told that their messages were not for them, but for you. The message of the prophets is for you and for me. Jesus recognized that King David, okay, he was a prophet carried along by the Holy Spirit, and Peter would have heard him speak about that when he writes these words. Peter speaks of the Scriptures as the eternal and living Word of God. More than paper and ink, new life in Christ, something that Trent Miller spoke about last week, is life that never ends. It's spiritual life, that's permanent life, it's forever life, because it comes from an eternal source, from the eternal and from the living Word of God. That's where new life in Christ generates. The prophets in the Old Testament did not just write down their best ideas and best life hacks and their great wisdom. That's not what happened. Instead, the prophets spoke as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. On a practical basis, what that means is that the Bible is the Word of God, that it can be trusted. It is the standard of truth, because the Spirit of the truth is the one that empowers it. It convicts, the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin and righteousness and things to come. God always tells the truth in the Scriptures. Now, the Bible also clearly talks about those who deny God. Do you know what the Bible calls people who deny God in their hearts? One word. You know what it is? It calls them fools. The fools have said in their heart there is no God. The contrasts in the Old Testament are so striking. The Bible, the Old Testament, clearly depicts the character of God and the will of God. And we know that unforgiven sin brings judgment. We know all of that. But we also know from the Bible that God is not willing that any should perish, right? People, in whether it's the Old Testament teaching or the New Testament teaching, you see it throughout the Bible. People who turn from their sin in self-direction, and they turn to God in belief, they believe Jesus for who he is, as Fritz talked about a moment ago, and they repent of their sins, they change their mind, they change horses and direction, they move from self-direction to leadership by God in their lives. We call that saying yes to Jesus the first time, right? When that happens, people find forgiveness. They find reconciliation with God. They find what the Bible calls life, real life. This is what the prophets taught in the Old Testament, carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is what is taught by Jesus in the New Testament, and it's what's taught by the apostles after Jesus. We call that a common theme all the way through the Scriptures, that there's salvation and there's hope by belief in Jesus. The Bible shows the heart of God. And God has always longed for you to know him. That's the heart of God that we worship. You can see great joy in Christians who've leaned into the leading of the Holy Spirit in their lives. They've ingested the Scriptures to see what God has said through the prophets and all the authors of the Scripture. And that's at the intersection of heart transformation. When you know the truth that sets you free, and you lean into the presence and the leading of the Holy Spirit, and you're changed in a moment. All the things we long for in life, the love that we long for in life, and the joy and the peace, okay? A sense of centeredness, and all of those things are the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You know, as we lean into the Holy Spirit and God transforms our heart and the character qualities of the Spirit start flowing through us, that's the origin of the things we long for. There's not some other source. The fourth thing I'd like to talk about today is to consider some of the words of Isaiah, one of the prophets of the Old Testament who wrote 700 years before Jesus. He wrote 700 years before Jesus. He is carried along by the Holy Spirit. And when he speaks in Isaiah chapter 61, he's actually, in effect, he's quoting Jesus in advance. That's what he's doing in this passage. I want to read it for you. Isaiah chapter 61, beginning at verse 1. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be set free. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies. All who mourn in Israel will be given a crown for ashes and a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his glory." It's poetic. It's beautiful, talking about salvation that comes through Jesus. But you know, this is the very prophecy that Jesus turned to in the scroll of Isaiah in the synagogue in Nazareth at the beginning of his earthly ministry. They gave him the scroll, and he unrolled it, and he read these exact verses, and then he said this: "The scriptures you've just heard have been fulfilled in me today." Isaiah, 600 or 700 years earlier, was talking about Jesus, explaining who Jesus was and what he would do. Good news is coming through Jesus to those who are poor in spirit, those who recognize their need for God. Freedom from sin comes through Jesus. Those who mourn for their sin will find healing in Jesus. Despair will be replaced by praise. Righteousness comes through Jesus. All of those things were known by Isaiah 700 years before Jesus. As he speaks words Jesus said, apply to him. These are his words coming true. Later in the prophecy of Isaiah, we see that the Spirit of the Lord will rest on this new stump from David's family. Again, he's talking about Jesus. New fruit will come from the old. The Old Testament foreshadows the new. The hope of Jesus is not just for Israel. It's for every nation on earth. We see that in the Old Testament. God's sovereign plan is being played out right in front of us. And today, we have the Holy Spirit in us. We see that sovereign plan in the birth of Jesus. Remember, Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. We see it in the words of Elizabeth and Zechariah and John the Baptist, as we learn that Jesus is the Lord, Jesus is the Savior, Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. All of those prophecies coming true from what Isaiah said so long ago. The last point I'd make today, the fifth point, is this: God is still speaking today. God's revelation is progressive, and God is still speaking. The God who spoke the world into existence, the one who spoke through the prophets, the one who spoke to us in great clarity through the Son, now speaks through Christians when we share what the Bible teaches. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 with me. "For God said, let light shine out of darkness." "For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the knowledge of the glory of God displayed in the face of Jesus Christ." This is why Christians share their faith with not yet believers, because they have the light of God in them. Paul goes on to say that we speak for God when we encourage people to come back to Christ. We're actually speaking for God when we say that. For if you're a Christian, you have something to say. You've experienced the forgiveness of God. You've experienced new life in Christ. You have the light of God in you while you're walking around at Walmart. God continues to speak through his creation. He speaks to us through his word, and he speaks to us through Christians every day. Like the apostles of old, we are witnesses to the truth by what God is doing in us. I'd like to finish today in a little bit of an unusual way. I'd like to read from Isaiah chapter 55, a little bit of a longer passage. This is an invitation from Isaiah 700 years before that reads just like a New Testament letter, right? Where we're being invited into salvation. So listen as I read from Isaiah chapter 55. "Is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you have no money, come. Take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Why do you spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does no good? Listen to me, and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food." Isaiah is talking about salvation in poetry. "Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen, you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love I promised to David. See how I used to display my power among the peoples? I made him a leader among the nations. You also will command nations you don't know, and people unknown to you will come running to obey, because I, the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, have made you glorious. Talking about salvation. Verse 6. Seek the Lord while he can be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy upon them. Yes, turn to our God because he will forgive generously. That's the gospel. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. The rain and the snow, they come down from the heavens. They stay on the ground. They water the earth. They cause grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. Salvation is a free gift from God. He calls each of us to turn from our sin and to believe in Jesus. That's the connection point of repentance and belief and turning to God. Maybe God is speaking to you. Christians have the Holy Spirit within them. We are witnesses of salvation. And when we speak the word of God, it does not come back void. On the back of the blue cards this week, there are some next steps I want to talk about for just a moment. You know, the first of the next steps is saying yes to Jesus as forgiver and leader for the first time. You may not know this, but we've had scores of people who've crossed that line of faith over the last several years, even since Easter, lots and lots of folks who've said, you know what, I'm going to say yes to Jesus. I'm going to turn from my sin. I'm going to believe. If you mark that box, we'll connect with you on that. Also, this week, we're offering a guide to the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. If you check that box, something remarkable is going to happen. We're going to email you something, okay? That's it. It'll come to your email. And then there's a verse to meditate on there for Scripture this week from 1 Peter. But you got to beware when you meditate on Scripture, because if you meditate on Scripture, it will change your life as God enters in. I cannot imagine what it would be like to live today without the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. I can't imagine what that'd be like in looking back. The thing I didn't know when I saw Jesus as Savior and Lord is that when you find Jesus as Savior and Lord, you also find Jesus as friend. We want to pray for you this morning. Just a moment here, we're going to have prayer leaders in the front of the room, both on the right and left, and also in the back. They'll have a lanyard, I think, that identifies who they are. And they will pray with you about anything in your life that you wish to pray for. You don't have to be a member of Lighthouse to pray, and I wouldn't be embarrassed to pray at all. Every person needs prayer. I need prayer. You need prayer. We all need to pray, right? So if you want prayer, I'm going to pray for you now, and then it'll be your time to slip out of your seat and to go to one of the corners of the room and pray with somebody this morning. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, I pray at this time that you would draw each person forward who needs to pray. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.